إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We praise Him as He deserves to be praised. And we ask for His aid and His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of our own souls and from the evil of our wicked actions. Whosoever Allah Azza wa Jal guides, then none can misguide. And whosoever Allah Azza wa Jal misguides, then none can guide. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without any partners. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger to proceed. Ayyuhal nas, ittaqullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O mankind, fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as he deserves to be feared. Wa ra'u huquqa ikhwanikum min al-muslimin. And also, habidakum Allah, fulfill the rights of your brothers and likewise your sisters from amongst the Muslims. For verily Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. The believers are nothing but brothers. So make peace between them. Fear Allah Azza wa Jalla as He deserves to be feared. Perhaps you may be shown mercy. Brothers and sisters, when we look at that ayah, that verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are numerous benefits. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are nothing but brothers. ذَكَرَ الْإِمَامِ الْقُرْطُبِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. Al-Qurtubi mentioned one of the benefits from this verse is that أُخُوَةُ الدِّينِ أَثْبَتْ مِنْ أُخُوَةِ النَّسَبِ. That brotherhood or sisterhood in the religion has precedence and is stronger than brotherhood due to lineage. And there's no doubt about that. All we have to do is look at the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example that the world has never seen before. The Arab and the non-Arab, the black and the white, the young and the old united by one statement. The Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Another benefit from that, brothers and sisters. Because alhamdulillah, as we know, the religion of Islam is a religion of rights. And that highlights for us the beauty of Islam and the perfect order and structure of the religion. Because the religion of Islam, it clearly explains to us the rights of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon each and every one of us. And this is that we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone without any partners at Tawheed. وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَإِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. This is the greatest right that exists. To worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone without any partner. And this is the condition in order to enter paradise. It has to be fulfilled and it has to be met. فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مِفْتَاحِ الْأَسْنَانِ وَمِفْتَاحِ الْجَنَّةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. For verily the key to paradise is لا إله إلا الله. None has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone without any partners. After the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Likewise, ikhwan, your body has rights as clarified by the religion of Islam. Similarly, your brothers and your sisters have rights. Even animals have been given rights. Your neighbors have rights. Your wife has rights. Your husband has rights. Your children have rights. All of this has been clarified by the religion of Islam.
And some people may say, isn't this going a bit too far? Some people may say, isn't this obvious? The society we live in today clearly shows us that it's not obvious. Because the majority of the people are neglecting these rights. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمُ اللَّهِ The rights of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, firstly and foremostly. And then the rights of the creation. And no brothers and sisters, the more we actualize and fulfill these rights, the happier we will be. Isn't that amazing? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told us in this verse, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ The believers are nothing but brothers. Make peace among them. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He closed the verse by saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرَحَمُونَ Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Establish the rights of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Worship Him alone. Obey Him Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And after the rights of Allah, yes, fear Allah by fulfilling the rights of your brothers and your sisters and the people who are around you that have rights upon you. And the more that you fulfill these rights, the happier you will be. As pointed out by the Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah. He said this verse in the Quran is a proof. دَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ عَدَمَ الْقِيَامِ بِحُقُوقِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ حَوَاجِبِ الرَّحْمَةِ He said this verse, it highlights for us that not fulfilling the rights of the believers is from the greatest barriers to mercy. Some people wonder, why am I so miserable? Why am I so unhappy? And the answer is right in front of their face. Maybe you're not fulfilling the right of your wife. Maybe you're not fulfilling the right of your husband. Maybe you're not fulfilling the right of your child. Maybe you're not fulfilling the right of your brother or your sister. Maybe you're not fulfilling the right of your neighbor. Maybe there's someone's right that you're not fulfilling. That is why, brothers and sisters, when we look at the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us about the attributes of the believers, the attributes of the prophets and the messengers. Look, let's take one example, Nuh, Noah alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, look at the mentality of Nuh. That is why the prophets and the messengers were the happiest of the people, even though they encountered opposition from their people, except for those who believed and followed their path. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us about the statement of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ If you want to be happy, you have to remove that malice and that hatred out of the heart, the jealousy. It has to come out. Otherwise, you're going to go to bed every night and you're going to be walking around with a fire that's burning you in your chest. That's why Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned, he said, if you see anyone around you that Allah Azza wa Jal Tabaraka wa Ta'ala an'am Allahu alayhim has given them a blessing of wealth. They got more money than you. They have more children than you. They have more knowledge than you. They have more than the dunya than you. They have a better job than you. Then what should you say? He said, you should say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you of your bounty. He said, because if you walk around and you're jealous of that person, it's like a fire that is burning in your chest. And that's misery. When you walk with some people, that's all you hear. So-and-so has this car, so-and-so has that house. Where did he get that money from? Where is she getting this money from? All they worry about is the dunya. You never hear, Allahumma inni illa qaleel, rare. Oh Allah, I ask you of your bounty. And the one who has that mentality, they see Allah blessing somebody else, and they're pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they say, oh Allah, I ask you of your bounty. That person you see, they're walking around happy regardless of what they have in their pocket. Whether it's a million, whether it's a billion, or whether it's a dollar, they're still happy. Still the same person, Abdullah and Amatullah. They don't change. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about Nuh. Look at Nuh, the mentality. Rabbi ighfir li. Oh my Lord, forgive me. Forgive my parents. Forgive the believers that enter my house. And forgive the believing men and forgive the believing women. Allahu Akbar. That's happiness. Likewise, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran about the believers. والذين جاءوا من بعدهم, those who come after them, those who are happy, they walk around happy, they're content. يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. They say what? Look at the mentality. Oh, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. Forgive them. How many of us, when's the last time you said, oh Allah, forgive my husband? When's the last time you said, oh Allah, forgive my brother? Oh Allah, have mercy upon my brother. Oh Allah, forgive the Muslims. Oh Allah, forgive my teacher. Oh Allah, have mercy upon my teacher. Oh Allah, have mercy upon my brother. When's the last time that came from our lips? When? And if it doesn't come from our lips, then maybe that's the reason we're walking around unhappy. Those who come after them, they say what? Oh, our Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. So forgive us, but forgive our brothers as well. Allahu Akbar. Our brothers who preceded us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And don't leave any malice and hatred in our hearts towards our brothers, towards our sisters. Don't leave any of it. Because no brother and sister, that ghil, that malice that remains in the heart, the only person it harms is the one who possesses it. It doesn't harm the other person. Because no harm will befall any of us except that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk about very briefly the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to remind us about some of the rights that we have upon one another. In order for us to flourish as a society, we need to fulfill the rights that are upon us, starting with the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then after the rights of Allah azza wa jal, the rights that we have upon one another. And if we don't know what these rights are, then maybe we have to go back and review to find out what they are. There comes in the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِيمَا أَخْرَجْوَ الْإِمَامُ مُسْلِمْ فِي صَحِيحِهِ, collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, min hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ sit. The rights of the Muslim upon the Muslim are six. Look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the word he used, حَقْ. That's his right. Not when you feel like giving it to him. Not, you know, I feel good today, I'm happy, I feel good about myself, I'm going to give this right. No, it's not yours to give. That's the right Allah gave them. Some people walk around thinking that, you know, I have a choice. No, you don't have a choice. This is a right Allah gave them upon you. And you will be recompensed based upon how much you fulfill it, or how much you fail to fulfill it. Because al-jaza min jinsil amal, you reap what you sow, you get back what you put in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ, if you meet your brother, فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ, then give the greeting of salam. We all know this. If you meet your brother, give the greeting of salam. As-salamu alaykum, or as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and the best is as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But ikhwan, you know, in our time, alhamdulillah, the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah, walillah alhamd, yuhaqqiqoon as-salam, walillah alhamd, they give the salam correctly. You have some people, they're so lazy, they can't even take the time to learn how to give this greeting. You hear all types of madness. Sometimes you don't know what's coming from their mouth. What did you just say? Learn this right. It starts with learning it. Learn it. There's no embarrassment as it pertains to learning. All of us know things. All of us are unaware of things. All of us matter. We are proficient in some things. Some of us are not proficient in some things. If we don't know, say, Akhi, listen to my salam. Am I giving it correctly? And giving the salam is mustahab. It's recommended. But returning it is wajib. It's an obligation. And the salam is given to those who you know and those who you do not. The salam, brothers and sisters, you ask for Allah Azza wa Jal to give safety and security to your brother or your sister when you give them the salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you safety and security. That's the supplication that you are making. So obviously the heart has to be pure and clean. Otherwise the tongue is contradicting what is in the heart, and that is a sign of hypocrisy. May Allah protect us all from that. Look at the beauty of Islam. This is the greeting of paradise. This alone shows the beauty of this religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise, he said, وَإِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْهُ. If your brother invites you, then respond to the invite. The ulama of Islam, they mention as-sahih, that which is correct, the walima. If you are invited to a walima, the wedding feast, then you have to answer the wedding feast. And the wedding feast, brothers and sisters, is i'lan al-nikah. It is the announcement of the marriage. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companion, only walau bishat. Establish the walima, even if it's with a sheep. No, you don't have your walima in McDonald's privately. That's not a walima. That's something that you picked up along the way. That's not the walima. The walima is the wedding feast. It's i'lan. It's announcement of the nikah, of the marriage. It's a celebration from the beauty of the beauties of Islam. Al-walima. Showing that this institution of what marriage is important and it means something. It's not over a Big Mac. It is done in the correct way. From the beauties of Islam. Why? Because marriage is ghalim. It is something that is praiseworthy. And it's something that is mada protected. To the extent that if you're invited to the walima, fa'ajibhu. It's an obligation to attend. Unless you have a legitimate excuse. For example, if there was ma'asiyah, disobedience there, or the like, then alhamdulillah, laka udhrun. As for now, likewise, the brother invites you to their house, or the sister invites you to the house, then it's recommended to attend. Ta'nisan, nam, making them feel that alhamdulillah, that you respect their invite. The third thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. If your brother ask you for advice, then advise them sincerely. Look at that, Allahu Akbar. The believer has lisan wahid. The Muslim has one tongue. If your brother asks you for advice, you give them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say you tell them what they want to hear. إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ. If they ask you for your advice, then what? فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. Then you give them sincere advice. Nasiha is what, brothers and sisters? Iradatul khayri lil mansuh. You want good for the one that is being advised. So sometimes, mada, advice, you may tell someone what they don't want to hear, but that's the beauty of Islam. Allah in the Quran, He mentions from the prophets and the messengers, they would say to the people, when they were giving them, calling them to Allah, I'm advising you. I'm giving you advice. And the best nasiha is what? To command the people to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone and to stay away from all forms of shirk. إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. If your brother seeks advice from you, advise them sincerely. And you hear the statement that's prevalent, that's my old head. Some old heads, they don't deserve to be old heads, صراحةً. Because in reality, a person that عنده خبرة, he's going to tell you the truth all the times based upon his experience and wisdom. And that's another thing. We don't go to anyone for advice. We only go to those who have knowledge and those who we trust and those who are known for their integrity and their uprightness and the like. We don't go to a child for advice about marriage. It doesn't make sense. We don't go to a person who, for example, is a thief to tell us about business. Islam commands us, walillah alhamd, to do what is in the best interest of every situation. Look at the religion of beauty. إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ. If your brother asks you for advice, فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. Give him advice sincerely. Meaning, it may not always be what they like. The Salaf, what did they used to say? You've not advised me until you tell me to my face what I may dislike. And we're not talking about ikhwan, people being malicious. Sometimes they say, I want to advise you, and you have to think about how is what you just said advice. It doesn't even make sense. You have not advised me until you say to my face what I dislike. But it's the truth. Akhi, you need to come to the masjid more. That's nasiha. All of us, none of us are exempt. All of us. When was the last time, Akhi, you was in the masjid outside of Jum'ah? When was it? Ikhwan, how we see the masjid here today, this is how it should be for the salawat. This is how it should be. Why is it only on Jum'ah? At the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, the masjid was like, it was packed at all times, Jum'ah and other than Jum'ah. Why is it now in 2018 that the masjid is only packed on Jum'ah? Why? And that shows the state of a community and the ummah. Because when you see in the masjid, alhamdulillah, I went for Isha, the masjid was full, walillah, alhamdul minna. That shows, alhamdulillah, fihim rijal, amongst them is men, yu'adhimuna salat, they hold the prayer to be important. And if they hold the prayer to be important, alhamdulillah, they hold everything else after that to be important. Yuhafidhun ala salawat, then the rest of the actions you can make qiyas upon that. إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. If your brother asks you for advice, or your sister, advise them. Don't just tell them what they want to hear.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man tabi'a hudah wa ba'd.
Likewise, ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, when he said, حق المسلم على المسلم ست, and in riwayah, الذي هو متفق عليه خمس, and in the hadith which you find in Bukhari and Muslim, five. نعم الحمد لله لكن في هذا الحديث نجي زيادة. Somebody may think there are more than six rights, but these are from the most important of them. There are other rights that are not mentioned in this hadith. The fourth thing that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, فإذا عطس فحمد الله. If the believer sneezes and says الحمد لله, all praise belongs to Allah تبارك وتعالى, فشمته. Then say to them, Yarhamakullah. Say to them, Yarhamakullah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon you. Look at the beauty of Islam. Because you sneezing is a blessing. How many of us think about that, ikhwan? That every time we sneeze, it is a blessing from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Do you know if you are unable to sneeze, what diseases and other mafasi could result in that? Even sneezing is a blessing from Allah. Look, the believer does not look down upon anything that is good. Even you sneezing is a blessing from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the believer says, Alhamdulillah. All praise belongs to Allah. So if we praise Allah for the fact that we sneeze, then what about when we eat? Alhamdulillah, الذي أطعمنا من غير حول مني ولا قوة. All praise is due to Allah for the one who fed me. And I don't have any power, nor do I have any strength. Allah gave me this food. Allah gave me this drink. The believer, look, the Muslim that has this mentality, when you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah, that person will never walk around being sad. That person will never walk around being depressed because of something of the dunya, of this world. No doubt, we're going to have times when we laugh, we're going to have times when we cry. Us being depressed because we don't have a certain amount of money, that will not happen to the believer that fears Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because even when he sneezes, he says what? Alhamdulillah. All praise belongs to Allah. So if you're praising Allah for the fact that you sneeze, then what about everything else? What about that which is greater than that? The food that you eat. What about the fact that alhamdulillah you have your sight? What about the fact that you have your limbs? You're able to move. You're able to do kada. What about all these blessings that you have? You have security and safety. And then when the believer says alhamdulillah, from the rights of the believer upon you is what? At-tashmeet. That you say yarhamakullah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon you. Look at the beauty of Islam. Even the non-Muslims, they understood the power of this. They used to come deliberately to the Prophet ﷺ, and they would sneeze because they would want the Prophet to say to them, may Allah have mercy upon you, because they understood the excellence of that dua. How many of us in our time understand the excellence of the dua? Yarhamakullah. May Allah have mercy upon you. At-tashmeet. Again, showing us how Islam is a religion of beauty. It is a religion of honor. It is a religion of nobility. And it is a religion that gives the right to the Creator, to God, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And after the rights of the Creator, we also give the rights to one another. If you sneeze, say Alhamdulillah. Even when we come out the bathroom, what do we say? Ghufranak. Oh Allah, I ask for your forgiveness. That's even when we leave the bathroom. When we come out, recognizing again that we're a weak servant. If it wasn't for the fact Allah blessed us to relieve ourselves, we would be upon the path to death, because if a person cannot relieve themselves, now no doubt that is a sickness and an ailment. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْهُ. The fifth right of the Muslim upon the Muslim, when he becomes sick, you visit him. When he becomes sick, you visit your brother. You visit your sister. Now, you advise them to have good thoughts about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You encourage them to ask for Allah's forgiveness. You encourage them to make dua. You make dua for them. You supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla Tabarak wa Ta'ala for Allah to cure them. When they are sick, you visit them. Whether they're sick in the home or sick in the hospital. And when you visit them, لا تثقل عليهم. You don't visit them for a long period of time if it's difficult and burdensome for them. You just go to them, alhamdulillah, and you show them that I care. You show them that, alhamdulillah, if you have a need, I'm here. Not for the people, because we're living in a time of Instagram. Instagram is the current day Hollywood, wal'iyadu billah. Everyone's putting on their makeup, or the men are putting on their best clothes. People are wearing watches that don't belong to them. People are pulling out money pretending it's more than what they have. It's the new Hollywood, it's the pretense. May Allah protect us from it. So when you go, you're not filming yourself, yes, I'm going to visit this brother so-and-so. No, you go and visit them for Allah, sincerely, as a brother. Because you know that fakeness is going to disappear, it's not going to last. Once you've got your picture moment, khalas, it's over. Then what? But that true brotherhood, you see it. It's like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. They said when ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, one of his enemies died. Enemy. In our times, when you're living and you're healthy, he may be right next to you like he's your best friend. After you're gone, khalas. Your children forgotten, except for those whom Allah joins their hearts and joins them with true brotherhood. Ibn Taymiyyah about his worst enemy. When news reached him that his enemy died, he went to the family, he went to the wife, he went to the children. He said, I'm going to do what your husband used to do for you. I'm going to take care of those responsibilities. And he never said it mujamala, just for service of the lips. He said it, meaning it. True brotherhood. That's what we saw with the Sahaba, the companions. That's what we saw with the Tabi'een, Atba'at Tabi'een. That's what we saw in the best generations and the best of communities. That's what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. When your brother is sick, you visit them. And the last, when your brother, look, subhanAllah, throughout life, when he's living and he's healthy, you give him his right. Now, when he's sick, you give him his right. When he's dead, you still give him his right. When he's dead, فَاتَّبِعُهُ. You go and attend the janazah. You follow the funeral prayers. Now, the best is what? You pray the Salat al-Janazah, the funeral prayer for your brother or your sister, and you follow the body until it is buried. However, if you don't follow the body till it is buried, you at least you go and you offer the funeral prayers. Tashhad al-Janazah. Fattabi'hu. Look, subhanAllah. Never falling short. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the believers are nothing but brothers. That bond, it is stronger than lineage. If that bond is not stronger than lineage, then there's some khalal, there's a weakness in iman. Because if your iman is as Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded it to be, when someone says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that bond is stronger than the bond of lineage and blood. And in our time, ikhwan, you have individuals who are calling to jahiliyyah. Look, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حق المسلم على المسلم ست. The right of the Muslim upon the Muslim is six. And he mentioned, did he say if he's black, then you give precedence because you're black, or if he's white and you're white, you give precedence? Give me one hadith or one ayah that mentions race, heart. You'll never find it. Why? Because it doesn't exist. In Islam, someone is your brother, it does not matter the color of their skin. That's why the Muslims, they don't fall into the hype that goes on about race and the racial divide. Because to the Muslims, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best of you before Allah are the ones with the most piety, the ones with the best actions, the ones with the most righteous deeds. It's not about the color of your skin, and it is not about your origin or anything else. Whether you're Arab or non-Arab, it's based upon your deeds and your iman, your faith. And likewise, how you actualize what Allah has commanded you to actualize, and you stay away from what Allah has commanded you to stay away from. That's when we read this hadith. That alone is enough, ikhwan. People trying to come among the Muslims and divide us based upon race. They're white Muslims, they're black Muslims, they're Chinese Muslims, they're Arab Muslims. يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. When the Prophet ﷺ, he heard those type of calls, He said, أبي دعوة جاهلية وأنا بين أظهركم. Three Islamic slogans and I'm with you. If somebody has the mentality because someone's black, أنا معه because I'm black. Or because he's Arabi, أنا أكون معه because he's Arabi. Or because he's أعجمي, he's not Arab, I'm going to be with him. هذه جاهلية. That is from pre-Islamic times. Put it under your foot because it stinks. The Prophet said it's repugnant. It's disgusting. And you know if anyone has that mentality? That I'm better than so-and-so because of the color of my skin or because of my lineage or my tribe? Do you know who the forefather for that mentality, and we mentioned it before, is? It is Iblis. The predecessor for this mentality is the devil. Because when Allah commanded the devil to prostrate, he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ I'm better than him. Why? What was his reasoning? Because I'm from fire, meaning what I come from, my appearance, أَصْلُ خِلْقَتِي What I came from is superior to him. It doesn't matter about my iman. It doesn't matter about my righteous deeds. Because where I came from, I'm better than him. So anyone who thinks, because I'm Arabi, I'm better than him, that's from Iblis. Or if somebody thinks I'm white and I'm better than him because I'm white, that's from Iblis. Or vice versa. And ikhwan, we know that's not the case. Because Allah tells us about some of the nobles from the Arabs. Allah tells us that they go into the hellfire. And at the time of the Quraysh, the mushrikun of Quraysh, they were nobles. Meaning they were people who had position, they had money, they had tribes. And people who were slaves were better than them. As Allah tells us in the Quran, a slave who has iman is better than the one who is free and they are upon disbelief. We ask Allah to forgive us and our brothers and sisters and enter us all into paradise. May Allah protect us from the hellfire.